The following is a lecture given at an evening home program by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 31st, 2006, in Melbourne, Australia.
So, how much we are blessed to have this opportunity to gather together to chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How much we are blessed to have this opportunity is, in Sanskrit language, the word is achintya. It is inconceivable. What is the extent of our good fortune? If you were tried to measure in dollars, what is the value of this opportunity we have right now? You could take all the money of this whole world and multiply it times 10 trillion. And it would not come to even an insignificant, infinitesimal fraction of the value of being here right now to chant Hare Krishna mantra in this Sangha. Sometimes they have these political dinners, you see, where the big politician comes, and it's very exclusive things. You pay $1,000 for a plate at that dinner. You're not paying for the food, you're paying to be seen at that event. That's it. So, even if we charge you $1,000 to be here, $1,000 per head to be at this gathering of soul, it would not come anywhere near to the unlimited value of this opportunity that we have now to chant the holy names of God. So, the casual observer, he may ask, that sounds pretty outrageous to me. How you can say that? To me, it's just a group of people sitting around singing some Hindu folk song. How you can say that it's incalculably valuable? They may argue, this is a preposterous claim. How you can say that it is incalculably valuable? How you can say that? So what will be our answer? Oh, it simply requires faith. What will we tell them? Well, if we speak from the authority of the great acharyas, then we can bring deep significance and deep meaning to the light, to our awareness, in other words. Actually, the deep significance of this event does not require our comprehension to certify its auspiciousness. Whether we realize the auspiciousness of this event, or we do not realize the auspiciousness of this event, it remains unlimitedly auspicious nonetheless. However, if one can realize what is the auspiciousness of this event, then for that participant, it becomes much more auspicious. It is auspicious for everyone. But those who have deeper comprehension of the auspiciousness of the event get an even more auspicious result. Therefore, we shall try to give complete thorough explanation as to what is the auspicious nature of this event, so that all of you can derive the most possible auspiciousness out of this auspicious event. It is stated by Srila Rupa Goswami, as quoted by Srila Prabhupada, in his translation of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It is summary study form called The Nectar of Devotion. You have read that book, Nectar of Devotion? Yeah. It is stated there that pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. What does auspiciousness mean? Auspiciousness means beneficial. And all auspicious means beneficial for all living entities throughout the totality of existence. That is all auspicious. So pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. That's which benefits all living entities throughout the totality of existence. So one makes question then, all right, how do I engage in this pure devotional service? This answer is given in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. The easiest way to enter into the topmost self-realization mood of pure Krishna consciousness is to chant these names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we will utter these names with faith, if we will utter these names with love, if we will utter these names with enthusiasm, and if we will also be patient, you see, then we will derive the greatest benefit from this chanting. The result does not come immediately. It takes some time. If you enroll in the university, and after 1 week of classes, you don't have your degree yet, what will you do? Will you drop out? What kind of university is this? I've been here a whole week. I don't have my PhD yet. You see, will you drop out? No, it takes time to earn a PhD degree. So a PhD, which is not much more than a scrap of paper, really, you see, it's so difficult to achieve. And how much time and endeavor will it take to achieve pure Krishna bhakti? So we have to be patient. At the same time we are enthusiastic, we have to have some patience also. So if you will chant the Hare Krishna mantra with determination, with enthusiasm, and with patience, without trying to derive some material benefit from it, simply trying to become a pure lover of God. You see, that's important. One should chant Hare Krishna mantra for the sake of becoming a pure devotee, cleansing the heart of all the dust accumulated for countless lifetimes. This is why we should chant. Not to get a new house, you know, to get some, that I want my wife to, what is it? A Cadillac with Michelin tires, you know, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha. We should not chant Hare Krishna in that mood. You may get your Cadillac and your Michelin tires. You may get a nice silk sari for your wife, you see. You may get your kids into Harvard. You may get your mansion by the sea. But you know what you will not get? you won't get Krishna. So what's the use of it? It's simply some broken pieces of glass, that's all. These material things are no more than a broken piece of glass. When you get Krishna, you achieve the rarest gem. You see? Therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna Mantra, we should simply strive to achieve pure bhakti. We should have no other motive, which is simply a distraction. You see? Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. Bhagavatam explains, this devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Sometimes we interrupt our devotional service, our mind gets distracted, we don't know how to tune in. Isn't like now one of the members, he's sitting here reading a book over here instead of listening, you see. He's sitting here reading a book, he can't even focus his mind for 5 minutes on this lecture, you see. This is called breaking the bhakti. So, instead of breaking the bhakti, if we can just focus nicely and become absorbed in the bhakti without any break, you see, and we don't have any ulterior motive for doing it, just for the sake of pleasing Krishna, you see, we will do bhakti for this reason. I simply want to please Krishna. The result will be that we become totally satisfied. We taste a happiness, a pleasure, a thrill at every minute of our existence, where the whole life simply becomes an exciting adventure in consciousness expansion, and in sharing that expanded consciousness with the whole world, becoming a spiritual revolutionary for the benefit of the suffering souls of this age of Kali. Beginning with that first suffering soul you have to minister to. Do you know who that is? Who is that first suffering soul you must minister to? Yourself. That's the thing. Everyone is meant to be a minister, a preacher of Krishna consciousness. And who is that first person in your bhakta program that requires training? That is you. You require it. So your first assignment is, you become Krishna conscious. You save yourself. You see? And once you become pakka, solid in Krishna bhakti, then you can make so many other people Krishna conscious. Just by your association, they will want to become Krishna conscious. Just by associating them, they go, wow, this person's amazing. How can I be like that? You see? They ask you, what's your secret? Well, I chant this very special mystic mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And I read what book? Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Reading Krishna book.
That's all right. Krishna book reading is very good.
My point is this.
But not during the lecture. You can read after the lecture. It's very good. But not in the name of Krishna book, I do not listen to the lecture, you see. That is nonsense.
I don't need to hear.
Huh?
I don't need to hear because I'm reading Krishna book.
No, we have to hear. Prabhupada explains that attending the classes is more important than our reading, individual reading. Individual reading is important, but even more important is when there is a lecture, a class going on, that we fully absorb our consciousness in that lecture, in that class. That's more important than reading. Why? It's actually, there's a word that they use in the corporate world. The reason is synergy. You know that word, synergy? You have so many units of energy, I have so many units of energy. Let's say I have 10 units of energy, you have 10 units of energy. So that's a total of 20 units of energy. But if we come together and work conjointly, that instead of 10 plus 10 equals 20, it's 10 times 10 equals 100, you see. So that is called synergy. When we come together to hear and chant the glories of God, then that spiritual energy, instead of just being added, it's multiplied against each other. If we take 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10, it becomes a huge number. It becomes multiplied instead of added. That is called synergy. That's why it is more important to hear in the class than it is to read on our own. But reading our own is very good, because then we can learn things that we can then bring to the class and share what we have learned by our readings. So both are important. But the most important thing is to come together and hear and chant in the congregation of the devotees. That is the most powerful, the most potent, and the most enlivening thing. You see? So in this way, we hope that everyone can become very serious to become Krishna conscious. This human form of life is obtained after transmigrating through 8,400,000 species of life. Now you've got a human form. Now what will you do with it? Will you simply learn how to get a degree and make some money? You see? The birds, they can earn a living even without having to get a degree. So the bird is better than you are, you see. He doesn't require a college degree, and he doesn't have to worry about buying a car. He can just take some sticks and build a nest, you see. He's got his problems solved. Just get some sticks, build a nest, get some worms, and he's all set. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need it. Do you see any birds requiring psychiatrists? No. The human life, we have complicated it unnecessarily by trying to enjoy the combination of the senses with the sense objects. That is our foolishness. We are not meant to squeeze pleasure out of sense gratification. Why? Do you know why we are not meant to squeeze pleasure out of sense gratification? Because we're not this body. You think you're a little girl? You do or don't? Are you a little girl? Yes, she thinks she's a little girl. This is called Maya. You see. Do you realize that you and I are the same age? No? You see? This is called Maya. She does not realize that she is eternal and I am also eternal. You see. She's been around just as long as me. You see? The living entity is eternal. He has no beginning, or she. He has no beginning, no end. But we foolishly identify thinking, I'm a little girl, or I'm a little boy, or, you know, I'm an old man. This is Maya. We are not this body. Because we're thinking, I'm a little boy, I'm a little girl, I'm an old man, I'm an old woman. We try to get pleasure out of this body. But is this body a source of enjoyment? Let me ask you. You may get a little temporary pleasure, but in the long run, what does it simply give you? It's misery. That's simply a place of misery. It gets old, it gets sick, it goes deaf, it goes blind. So many problems. The organs go bad. You have to go for surgery. You have to have this organ cut out. I mean, you know, new artificial this put in, artificial that. There's so many problems with this body. It's not a place of enjoyment. So why try to enjoy that which is not enjoyable? That is foolish. Better to find out where the actual enjoyment is and put the energy there. You see, that is called the spiritual platform. Better to find out where is the actual enjoyment. That's where you should invest your time, your energy, your consciousness, on the spiritual platform. Because there, life is eternal. Life is full of knowledge. Life is full of bliss. So we simply have to come to that spiritual platform. And the easy way to get there is to take shelter of Guru, take shelter of Vaishnavas, follow the injunctions of the scriptures, and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we can ask if any of you might have some questions. This is one of the items given in the Bhagavad Gita. One should approach the spiritual master, and one should inquire. So when Guru is present, one has the opportunity to make inquiries according to the order of Lord Sri Krishna. So, anyone have questions?
Yes. In Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter 31st verse, Manmana Madhrapto Madhyayi Mam Namaskar. So how we can remember Krishna all the time?
Yes.
Uninterrupted.
Yes, this is very, very wonderful question you have asked. I'm very, very pleased with your nice question. Thank you. Krishna is saying, engage your mind always in thinking of me, manmana. Always think of me. So, what is that method? The practical method is, you should rise early in the morning, as early as possible. Preferably, you should rise before the sunrise. And chant on the beads. The morning chanting of Krishna's names will charge your spiritual batteries so that all day long it's easy to think of Krishna. If you can rise every morning and chant 16 rounds before the sunrise, do you do that?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Mostly,
not always. So if you, most, huh?
Mostly, not always.
Well, there's how you can increase. Instead of not always, do you always chant 16 rounds?
Okay.
Yes. But not always early in the morning. Well, there's an area you can improve right there. Chant every day. In fact, you can make a vow, if I didn't finish my rounds, I won't take my breakfast. You see? Get my rounds done before breakfast. Your belly will force you to get those rounds. And then what else you can do? That will give you the proper perspective, the proper platform from which you can then scrutinizingly analyze everything that goes on in your mind. You've found that spiritual position. Now, once you've found that by chanting those 16 quality rounds in the morning, now you have to keep that spiritual perspective and you have to see what's going on in your mind at every minute. You have to be your own psychologist. You have to observe your own mind. Is this thought Krishna conscious? See, everything stems from thoughts. If you're thinking Krishna consciously, you will speak Krishna consciously. And you will act Krishna consciously. So the main thing is to focus on what's going on in your mind. Is it Krishna conscious or is it not? And if it's not, what do? You kick out such thoughts. Reject them. No, you can't mind, you're not, don't think that way. It's not Krishna conscious. So in this way you have to train your mind how to always be fixed in Krishna consciousness by always observing it. Just like the mother always keeps an eye on the naughty little child to keep the child out of mischief and to train that child how to become well behaved. You see? The mother has to watch the naughty years that child like a hawk. Because as soon as you let him go for 1 minute, immediately all hell breaks loose, you see. So you have to watch in the beginning stage, we have to watch the mind very, very closely because the mind is our enemy in the beginning. But as you continue to bring that mind back, mano, what is that verse? Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam ashtaram, you see. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So in this way, by always keeping an eye on your mind and seeing what is it up to now? Is it Krishna conscious? Is it in Maya? What's it up to now? If it's Krishna conscious, then I say, very good mind, you're doing a good job, continue as you're doing. Or if it's not Krishna conscious, say, stop it. Stop thinking about that nonsense thing. Lusty thoughts, angry thoughts, greedy thoughts. Stop it. Stop it right now. You see? Come back to Krishna. So in this way, if you're very vigilant to always keep, be introspective, always see what is my mind up to, and always bring the mind back to Krishna again and again and again and again, it will gradually become fully automatic. Or you'll become spontaneously absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Your mind will automatically come to Krishna when you reach a certain stage of purification. But in the beginning, that is not practical, because the mind is just the opposite. The mind wants nonsense. It wants to be absorbed in nonsense television program, nonsense Bollywood movies or whatever, you see. The mind is like that. So we have to bring that mind under control. So, any other question? Yes.
You mentioned that one has to become perfect there before preaching.
You're asking if one has to become perfect before preaching?
That's what I heard, right?
You either have to become perfect or as good as perfect. Which means you don't give your own idea, you just honestly deliver what the perfect person has said. Prabhupada said, I may be perfect, I may not be perfect, but I repeat what I have heard from the perfect. And actually said, actually I'm not perfect, Prabhupada said one time. Actually I'm not perfect. But my perfection is, I repeat what I have heard from the perfect. You see. So you simply have to be, just like that company DHL, you see? The DHL employee, he doesn't have to possess anything except honesty. He simply delivers the package without adding or subtracting. So, you simply have to become the honest DHL man for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever you have heard from Guru, whatever you have heard from the sadhus, the senior devotees, whatever you have heard from the scripture, whatever you have heard from Prabhupada, you simply repeat it. That's all. All you have to be is an honest DHL man. Even the first day on the job, you can tell someone, do you know who is Krishna? They say no. Then I will tell you who is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even this little child, this small boy here, he can tell people, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you say that? Krishna, can you repeat that? Krishna is? He's too shy. Here's another boy back here, the Krishna book boy. Repeat after me. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, it's not difficult to preach. He's a preacher. All you have to do is say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Someone says, what is the highest truth? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you simply honestly preach what you have heard, then you can immediately begin to preach this Krishna consciousness. And according to the depth of your realization, then Krishna will empower you more and more and more to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. It simply requires sincerity and honesty, that's all. You don't have to become a pure devotee before you begin preaching. It's not. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains that the same order that Krishna has given, you give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me, that same order has been given by Lord Chaitanya in the form of whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people. So, that is purity. If you agree to preach on the order of Lord Chaitanya, on the order of guru, on the order of sadhus, if you agree to preach, your surrender to that order is your purification. It is your perfection. The acharyas are ordering, you must spread this Krishna consciousness. So I say, okay, I surrender, I will do it. That is your perfection. You've agreed to preach. That is your perfection. And if you say, well, I'm not going to preach, then you're not fully surrendered. If you're willing to surrender to preaching, that's 90% of your qualification right there. You got it 90% covered. If you agree, okay, I've been asked to preach, so let me do that. You got your spiritual perfection is 90% covered already. Now I just got to work on that last 10%. But if someone says, no, I won't preach, well, I got to become perfect first. I have to become pure first. You'll never get there. Because Lord Chaitanya has ordered everyone, this is your yajna for purifying yourself. Preach. Spread this Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada came to America. We were wild renegades, dropouts from the American mainstream culture, the hippie movement. We were doing all nonsense things. Just like Ram recruited the monkey warriors from the jungle, you see, and empowered them to defeat Ravana. Srila Prabhupada picked up all us monkeys and he engaged us in this activity. So do not think you have to become a Paramahamsa first and then you will preach. Nothing. Simply whatever position you are in now, you preach. And by that preaching, you will become perfect. That's a thing. Preaching will make you perfect. It is the duty given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as reaffirmed by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padivajakacharja Astatarasadashi Shimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He has ordered us to preach. He said, he told us in our American youth, he said, if you actually feel for your countrymen, then you spread this Krishna consciousness movement. They are dying. These people are dying. These Australian people are dying without Krishna consciousness. They are gliding down to the animal kingdom in their next birth. If you say, well, I'm going to wait till I see Krishna face to face, and then I will preach. You have no compassion for these poor souls. You must preach. And by that preaching, then Krishna will reveal himself to you face to face, eye to eye. Next question.
People say in Guru training that it was written that those who have life, they will preach.
Yes. Yes, a dead man, he cannot preach. That's right. If you're dead, you cannot preach. But what if you're dead and you want to become alive? Then preach, and that preaching will bring you to life. Tell someone about Krishna. Give someone a book. Tell someone about the holy names. My godbrother, he was working in corporate America. He's from India, from Delhi. He joined our movement, but at the same time, he was still working a corporate job. So he went out. Every day he would take Bhagavad Gita as it is, and he would just lay it on his desk while he was doing his work, you see. And one of the co-workers, a young American boy named Randy, he was curious, what is this book? So then he told them, and now that Randy, he has now become Ramiya Das, the disciple of Prabhupada. You see, some American boy working the same corporation, he became devotee just because the other devotee took Bhagavad Gita every day and laid it on his desk at the corporate office, you see. So you have to be eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. You have to have some eagerness. Find some way that you can introduce Krishna. Even if it's just laying your Bhagavad Gita on your desk at your job, you see. So when you have a little break, you can read one shloka. And then you can have an opportunity to tell other people about it, you know. You have to see how to spread this movement. People are dying without Krishna consciousness. We have to become spiritual revolutionaries. We want to save the world, you see. We have to have that revolutionary zeal. Save the world spirit, you see. Not just, you know, me and my family members and let everyone else go to hell. No. We have to think of the whole world. We have a mission of Prabhupada to lead the whole world out of chaos. So we have to think in a very big way how we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is called love. That is called universal brotherhood. How to save everyone by giving them Krishna consciousness. You see? Next question. Yes.
What will be our mood while chanting our 16 rounds?
What should be your mood?
Yes.
Srila Prabhupada has answered that question. That one should, just like the little child, cries for the mother. You see? You know how intensely your child cries for you, isn't it? That cry is total, complete absorption in crying. Mm-hmm. She's not thinking of something else. All of her consciousness fully goes into crying out for you, and you're impelled by her crying to come running to her, isn't it? Yeah. That crying of the child is so intense, you have to drop whatever you're doing and run to your child, isn't it? So, that is how we should chant. With such intensity that Krishna has to immediately pull us out of this material existence, like a child crying for the mother. Yeah. That is how we should chant. Prabhupada told us. It's very powerful. If you will chant like a child crying for the mother, then immediately Krishna will come and he will lift you out of this material atmosphere into the spiritual world. That's a fact. So make that chanting very, very intense. Just like a little child crying for a mother. This process works. Simply follow these instructions that we are giving very carefully and you will taste the result. This is a powerful process. This process can deliver every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. It's a very powerful process. The whole world can become peaceful, happy, and prosperous, and Australia will start getting water again. I just read on the airplane flying from Sydney to Melbourne, they have some special satellite technology. They can actually see how much water there is, including the underground aquifers. In Australia, has lost something like in 1 year, 92 Sydney harbors worth of water has disappeared from Australia. 92 Sydney harbors worth of water has vanished from Australia in the last year. If this trend continues, Australia is in for big time catastrophe. But if we can become Krishna, this is simply punishment from the higher authorities because we're not Krishna conscious here as a country, you see. But if we can become Krishna conscious, then the rains will come. That's described in the Bhagavad Gita. So, any other questions? Yes.
I'm a Grihastha. I sometimes think that I have this thought where I feel I do not care if I rot in hell as long as I try and work hard to make sure that I try and deliver my family members to make spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
What is the fault in such thinking?
So you're thinking that I may rot in hell as long as they can be saved. Well, you're initiated disciple? Yes. Well, Prabhupada explains that the spiritual master, he has to stay here until all of his disciples go back to Godhead. So if you are rotting in hell, then you're putting your Guru Maharaj into great difficulty. So you must think that I must become delivered so I don't become a burden on my spiritual master. So that is it. You don't want to be a burden on your Guru Maharaj that he has to rescue you from hell. You see. So you must go back to Godhead and you must deliver your family members also.
What is wrong about it?
Hmm?
What is wrong about it?
That's what I'm saying. It's wrong. Because if you're rotting in hell, then you're putting your Guru Maharaj into difficulty. That's the wrong. You're troubling your Guru Maharaj. If you're not becoming delivered, if you're remaining in the darkness of ignorance, then your spiritual master will have to come and rescue you. So you should go back to Godhead and you should take your family members with you. Not that you rot in hell and they go back to Godhead, don't they?
But isn't it also wrong that I'm just thinking this is my family?
Well, it depends on your conception of family. As Mataji is aptly pointing out to you. Who is your family anyway? You think family means wife and children? That's not a grihastha, that's called grihamedi. Don't you know the grihastha, before he takes his meal, he goes in the front yard, he says, if anyone is hungry, you come and eat. Three times he calls. Prabhupada explains, grihastha means three times you go out and invite everyone in, because he thinks everyone is my family member. That is grihastha. Grihamedi, he thinks, wife and kids, that's my family.
I, me, and mine
makes me feel real fine. That is called grihamedi life. But grihastha, he thinks, my family, that is all living entities. That is actual grihastha. He sees that his family, everyone is the child of God, the child of Krishna. Therefore, he sees all living beings are my family members. That is grihastha. Yeah. You had a question?
Those four principles of books are the basis, preaching is the essence, and purity is the force, and utility is the principle.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on utility as the principle?
Yes. Now, the 26 qualities of the spiritual master, of the pure devotee, one of them is daksha. He is expert. So he knows how to utilize everything in its most effective means. Utility means the usefulness of a thing. He knows how to properly utilize everything in the best possible way. Actually, this is called leverage. One who is very expert at using something, he can get more out of it than someone who is not. You see? That's a fact. Here's an example of Prabhupada's utility. You know, in India, what is the most important skill when it comes to driving? The most important skill that you can have? Being able to honk a lot. Honk, honk, honk. I think when they give a driver's test in India, they have to see how fast you can honk the horn. And if you can honk the horn like crazy, then you pass the test. So anyway, that was a little joke, but actually it's a serious thing here. One day, the devotees were driving Prabhupada in the car, and it turned out the horn didn't work. Now that puts you in a lot of difficulty. You have a car with no horn, how will you get through the village? You'll never get through the village. So Prabhupada is so expert at utility, he took some metal plate and he was boom, boom, boom. So that's called utility is the principle, you see. He's very practical. He knows, even if there's not horn, I will find some way that all the villagers will know there's a car coming, so get out of the way, you see. So that is an example. Utility is the principle. Yeah.
Just now you were telling about some punishment. I'll tell you a story. This Friday, day before yesterday, we saw a gentleman in the hospital about 1:30 p.m. and he died same night, 8 o'clock. Now, what we want to know, how Lord Krishna or Super Soul gives the punishment to the soul and how...
Krishna doesn't give punishment.
No. So how this he passes? Where does he go?
The soul passes. Actually, Krishna simply gives rewards. He never gives punishment. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want, he gives you that reward.
But he wanted to be free because he was on ventilator for 100 days with medications and everything.
He wanted to become free from the ventilator?
Yeah. And
so he is free from the ventilator.
But where is he gone?
That is according to his karma, according to his tendency. He has taken another body.
You mean he goes to Yamaraj first, as soon as he leaves the body?
Yes, yes. The Yamadutas, because we have engaged in various types of sinful activities for which we have to atone. Therefore, we have a little visit. The boys from Yama's planet come, and they take us for a little visit to Yamaraj. So we can get, you can say, a cleansing off of our pap. Yes. That is actually to help us. It's like when your car gets dirty, you take it to the car wash. So the Yamadutas, they have a car wash for the jivas. And they take you down for some car wash and get you ready for your next birth.
So that means he doesn't get the body immediately. He has to wait for something.
It's interesting. In one place, Prabhupada says it is immediate. And in another place, he details that there's a whole journey you go to Yamaraj's place. So, the pure devotee, everything he says must be correct. So that means it happens in a different time relativity than ours. From one perspective, you instantly get your next birth. But from the perspective of the person who's actually going through it, he spends a long time in Yamaraj's court. Time is relative. From the earthly perspective, it may be seen that, well, he left one body, he's in another one now. But maybe a few seconds in there between, you know. But then on the lower planets, or the Yamaduta, the place where the Yamadutas are taking him, even if there's just a few seconds from our perspective, it could be many, many years. So time is relative. So I've been asked this question before. It's a bit hard to explain. I tried to answer on the email to some people. Is it impossible to explain via email? But perhaps in a local, you know, an open discussion like this, it may be comprehensible, because Prabhupada does say both things. That he instantly gets the next body, or in one place he mentions. Another place he says he's taken to the court of Yamaraj, he has to go through training for his next birth.
But my question is that he has already suffered 100 days in intensive care unit. So much agony, pain, separation from family and everything. So what was that?
That there is no undue punishment given. Mm-hmm. If he has burned off all of his pap, was he in a coma?
He was not in a coma.
Okay.
That was fortunate.
It depends. The intricacies of action are very difficult to understand. If he has burned off all of his karma, then he might just pay a quick visit to Yamaraj and then go on without having to, you know. It depends. I mean, it really depends. Everybody is an individual case. But don't worry, Yamaraj has good record-keeping system. And Yamaraj knows exactly what you deserve. What you Yamaraj will never give you more or less than what you deserve. Prabhupada says Yamaraj has his book. He's keeping very close tabs on each and every one of us. And Krishna also has his book as well. So we want to be in Krishna's book, not in Yamaraj's book. That's why we should engage in pure devotional service. Just like a criminal, sometimes he can make a special deal with the state to have his criminal record taken off his record. You see? So if you surrender to Krishna, all the data, all the bad data which is stored up on you in Yamaraj's book, that can all be wiped off. And you have no account whatsoever with Yamaraj. If you surrender completely to Krishna, become initiated disciple, become very serious, all those records of pop activities recorded in Yamaraj's database, that can all be removed from his database. So you'll have clear sailing at the time of death.
Completely erased.
Completely cleaned off record. There's no bad things that you have to pay for. It can all be wiped out. Just like in Texas, I don't know about in Australia, but in Texas, let's say you run a red light. In Texas, they have a special program called driver education. If you're willing to go to take a driver education course, you can wipe one traffic ticket off your record every year, every 12 months. Beyond that, you can't wipe. But one traffic ticket you can have completely removed from your record, so no one will ever see that you ran that red light or whatever. So Krishna consciousness, you can wipe out unlimited number of sinful activities from your record, which is being kept by Yamaraj. By chanting Hare Krishna, by taking prasadam, by circumambulating Tulsi Devi, by bowing down before the deities, by all these activities, you're wiping out past sins. They disappear from your record with Yamaraj. Questions more? Yes.
Godhead.
Mm.
So in one of the book I read that unless you perform the pure devotional service, or unless you are a pure devotee, going back to Godhead is impossible.
Yes, you have to be a pure devotee, that's right. If you have even a slight pinch of material desire, Krishna will satisfy your desire by letting you take breath again here to get that desire fulfilled. That's a fact. That's because you wanted it. You wanted something material, and it's not available in Goloka. So Krishna is giving you the chance to satisfy those desires that you're holding on to. That's his kindness. But it's better not to qualify for that kindness. Better just to want pure devotional service, you see. So you don't have to, you're not obliged to take birth again. Let's say you want to be you want to be a GBC man or something, you know. Well, I really wanted to be a GBC and have prestige in ISKCON, you know, as a GBC. And you died with that thought. Well, I never got to be a GBC. Well, guess what? You get a chance. You come back again in your next life, be a GBC.
So if we look at that way,
how practical it is to practice it?
Yeah, because, I mean, here we are talking about 100% pure devotional
service. Yes. Well, it's a very simple thing. It's very practical. In the beginning, what is your percentage of Krishna consciousness? Zero. You're 100% in Maya, 0% Krishna consciousness. So you begin practicing, and then what happens? You get 1% Krishna consciousness, 99% Maya. Then you go to 2%, 98, 3%, 97. In this way, it's very practical. You just keep pushing forward, you know. Finally, you get up to 70% Krishna consciousness, 90% Maya. Now you got, the further you get along, the more your spiritual momentum builds up, and the easier it gets to the easier it is to push further forward. When you finally get up there, there's only 1%. You've got tons of momentum on your, working for you now. When you're 99% Krishna conscious, it's much easier then than it was when you're only 1% Krishna conscious. You just have to stay in the fight. Becoming Krishna conscious is declaring war against Maya. You see, when the Allies were storming Normandy Beach on D-Day, it was a very difficult thing to get established on the European mainland, you see. But when they were on the precincts of Berlin, then they had tons of momentum going for them, you see. And Hitler, all he could do was commit suicide in the bunker, you know. Nothing more he could do. So in the beginning, it's very difficult, but we have to be very brave and courageous. That first step is the most difficult step. Begin Krishna consciousness. But if you remain steady in that practice, it will become easier and easier and easier and easier. And finally you get to that point. Prabhupada told me in one letter. He said, whether you can be like that, free from sex desire, no jnana, no karma, no yoga, all material desire is zero. Prabhupada ordered me. He challenged me, whether you can be like that. You see? So it's very practical. Otherwise, why is Prabhupada telling me like that? Prabhupada would give me some impractical instruction? No. It's very practical. This process works. It's more practical than computer science. This is the most practical science. There's no science more practical than Krishna science. Hare Krishna science. It is the Raja Vidya. It is the king of all sciences. Any other questions?
Yes. That brings me to another point. Somebody told in one of the lectures in the temple that they are distressed in the spiritual world also. How can they be distressed when there is no duality?
So, the question is, how could there be distress in the spiritual world? And I can tell you this, that the distress in the spiritual... Yes, there is distress in the spiritual world, but that is not distress like in this material world. The distress in the spiritual world is the sweetest form of nectar. Even in this material world, when I was a boy, I liked chocolate. Now I do not take. Now I may take carob, but I don't take chocolate. So, because chocolate has caffeine. But when I was a boy, before I found out about Krishna consciousness, I was very fond of chocolate. But there was two varieties. Hershey's company had two varieties. They had sweet chocolate and they had bittersweet chocolate. But I liked that bittersweet better because it had that mixture of flavors. It had the sweetness and the bitterness and that mixture of rasas was more tasty than just pure sugar, you see? That bittersweetness was more tasty. So, the high-level Vaishnavas, they like that bittersweetness. They like some distress. Kunti Devi prays, Vipada shantutashashvat tatra tatra jagad garo apunar pun, what is it? Yeah, she prays that let those calamities, let that distress come more and more and more. Because when distress comes, then I can do nothing but think about Krishna. And when I think about Krishna, I will no longer have to see the repetition of birth and death. So the pure devotees, they relish the distress. See in the Krishna book again and again how much the Vrijabhasis are put into distress. Don't you remember how much Mother Jasoda was in distress when Krishna was entangled in the coils of Kali and Nag? All the Vrijabhasis were in the depths of despair, except for Balaram. He knew what was going on, you see. Even Krishna, when he saw all the cowherd boyfriends have walked into the mouth of a ghasur, even Krishna was in distress for a minute. He went, oh my God, what am I going to do? He may not have said, oh my God, but he was, Prabhupada described, he was momentarily aggrieved. Krishna was in a distressed condition, psychologically distressed state of mind, momentarily. It is a pleasure, actually. Krishna took pleasure in feeling that, what is that aggrievement? That is compassion for the cowherd boys. He took pleasure in feeling distress about the cowherd boys. But actually there was no reason to be distressed because he's going to wipe out that demon in a minute, that agasur. So whatever distress may be there, just like when Krishna left the gopis. They were, after dancing rasa dance, then he disappeared. They were so much in distress. So that distress of the spiritual world is not like the distress that you experience in this material world. That distress simply increases the sweetness of the pastimes. That's all. Is that comprehensible to you?
Yeah, but there is no demon in the spiritual world.
Yes, but Krishna, there was no demons when Krishna left the gopis in the forest after dancing rasa dance with them. There was no demons there. You don't require demons for distress. Just like Radharani is always afraid of getting caught with Krishna. You see? She has a husband, you see? Abhimanyu, isn't it? Yeah. She's always afraid of getting caught.
That's for the namesake. Hmm? Krishna is the husband.
It's all a pleasure pastimes.
Yeah.
The distress of the spiritual world is simply part of the pleasure pastime. That's all. It makes it more blissful, more exciting. Varieties of flavors. Next, any question? Yes.
This is in continuation with my daughter's question yesterday in the class.
Mm-hmm.
This is in continuation with my daughter's question in
the class.
As to the number of souls in the whole, in spiritual and in the material universe. So is it infinite or?
It is infinite.
It's infinite.
Infinite, yes.
Infinite. So, but again, you also said that Krishna is not making any more souls.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah, so many, if there's no more coming, new ones coming, so that should be a finite number, isn't it? Or
no. Krishna is eternally emanating an infinite number of living entities from himself. Every living entity is eternal. In the Bhagavad Gita is explained. Natvevaham jatunasam natvang nime janadipa nachayiva nabhavishyama sarve vayamutaparam. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So, the living entity is eternally existing. There is never a time when they did not exist, nor will there ever be a time when they do not exist. Krishna is eternally emanating an infinitude of living beings from himself. That number cannot go up or down, because no new ones are coming into being and no old ones are going out of being.
So that means if there are no new ones, so that's the total number of existence.
Infinity, yeah.
It's
an infinite number. You can't count it.
Okay, but what her question, further question was, we were discussing it on the car, when we were going in the car. So what she says in that case, like for example, some of the devotees, pure devotees, they go back to spiritual world.
Okay.
Right? So that means in the material world, that's minus that.
Yes.
That's gone.
Yes.
So, at any time, like we talked about the 10,000 years of golden period.
Yes.
Right? So, which means there'll be a lot of living entities going back to the spiritual world. So, in that case, the number of living entities in the material world gets less and less and less.
It could. But the thing is, there's a continual flow of living entities falling down from the spiritual world and the material world.
From the spiritual world?
Yes.
Because he said
there's a continual flow of falling down. Right.
So how?
Once you leave there and go back, you will never come back again. But there are a lot of persons who come on for the first time vacation here. There will always be living entities who had never fallen before, who come here and fall for the first time. That will always be happening.
From the spiritual world?
Yes.
For the first time?
Yes. There will be no repeaters. Once burned, twice shy. But there will always be living entities who had never fallen, who will come from the spiritual world and enter this material world to try being God and see how they like it. It will always be happening for all of eternity. And they will learn their lesson and they'll go back and they'll never come back again. But they'll always, because there's an infinitude of living entities for all of eternity, there will be living entities checking out this position of trying to be Purusha. We are Prakriti. Jiva means he is Prakriti. But sometimes a Jiva becomes curious what it would be like to be Purusha. So they make that mistake sometimes. But is with an infinitude of living entities, that means for all of eternity they can be coming here. There's not a finite number. You're thinking as if there's a finite number of jivas. There's not a finite number. There's an infinite number. So even if for millions and billions of eternities, the jivas come from the spiritual world, the spiritual world will never run out of persons for all of eternity who want to check out the other, plan B. There's plan A, be a devotee. Plan B is try to be God. There will always be living entities who never tried plan B who want to check it out. Well, maybe it's pretty cool. Let me try it. You see? There will always be living entities who want to check out plan B. So if you want to preach, you can stay here eternally and preach in this material world. It's described that Arjuna actually remains in the material world. I read Prabhupada's letter. Arjuna remains in this material world eternally to engage in this preaching activity. So one can actually remain eternally in this material world.
Well,
what is that?
It's also said that he's an eternal associate of Krishna.
Yes, in this material world. Because Krishna is always coming here. He is going throughout this material world from one universe to another. He has his traveling roadshow. Is he? He has his cast of characters. He has his mother, his father, his stepfather, his stepmother, his cowherd boyfriends, his cowherd girlfriends, and they go traveling from universe to universe to display these wonderful Vrindavan pastimes so that people will become attracted. I would like to go back to home, back to God. And one day, in Houston, Texas, USA, I was walking through the airport and I heard off in the distance, da 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 da. Some ukuleles, Hawaiian ukuleles are playing, you know. And what's going on here? I looked over there, Hawaiian Airlines, you know. They had flown in some ukulele players and they had some Hawaiian girls in the grass skirts, you know. They were doing their thing, you know. What were they doing? They're trying to convince everyone to fly to Hawaii, you see. So Krishna, he flies in his cowherd boyfriends, his cowherd girlfriends. He arranges that Govardhan will come, Jamuna will come. A whole scene in each universe. He comes, he does the whole Leela, he shows everything, and he packs up shop and he goes to another universe. And this way he's traveling all over the universes, perpetually going through the universes, so that the living entities can come back. So, yeah, we have early schedule. Vishnupriya Mataji, my beloved wife, is here tonight. She has not said anything. Maybe she asked one question. But everyone should understand that she's doing a great service by assisting me in my world touring. She's the better half of our marriage, actually, I would say. We rise early in the morning because we have to do our japamala and we have to do Radha Krishna Seva for Radha Damodar. So we cannot stay up very late. We get up at 3 a.m. So we're going to beg your leave so that we can go back. And we very much appreciate how you have all heard very nicely and chanted very nicely with us tonight. And if you would like more of this wonderful nectar that we're sharing, then you simply go to our webpage, www.backtohome.com. And you can sign up for a free e-course. You get something every day in your mailbox. It's called Thought for the Day. It's a Krishna Conscious newsletter. The latest questions and answers that I've had with my students from around the world, and some different Krishna conscious thoughts and experiences while we're traveling all over the world. It's very popular. Over 5,000 people in over 100 countries are subscribed to it. You just go to backtohome.com. And if you want to write me personally any questions you have, just remember my initials, Sankarshan Das Adhikari. That's S-D-A. It's S-D-A at backtohome.com. So if you have any questions personally you'd like to ask me, maybe there was a private question you didn't want to ask in front of everyone, you can inquire confidentially via email and be happy to guide you. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shanta Shandas Prabhu ki jai.